Processes and tools dominate today's Agile discussions, but we are devoted to the individuals and interactions that make it work. From the beginner to the veteran practitioner, we have something for you. Welcome to Agile for Humans.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Agile for Humans. I'm your host, Ryan Ripley. Joining me today, Mr. Don Gray. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Don is, of course, a good friend of Agile for Humans, a great mentor to me, a well-known Agile coach, trainer, and all-around great guy. And he is the one that helps me spend my hard-earned money at Amazon each and every week on the latest and greatest book that I should be reading, but I haven't quite gotten to yet. So, Don, thanks as always for joining us. Also joining us today, Mr. Steve Denning. Steve, how are you?
Good, thanks, Ryan.
So Steve should be a very familiar name to those of you out in the Agile community. He's the author of 8 very successful books, including The Leader's Guide to Radical Management. He's a former director of the World Bank. He's a current contributor to Forbes.com. He leads the Learning Consortium for the Creative Economy, and until recently was a member of the Scrum Alliance Board of Directors. So Steve, thanks for joining us. And really just wanted to jump right into that last blurb about your very impressive background, the Scrum Alliance Board of Directorship, and your recent resignation. So clearly you've resigned from the board. You did this in a very public way. I think you tweeted out a few days ago the fact that you've left, along with a very interesting resignation letter. A lot of the key question that comes to mind as I read through this and I saw the tweets and responses is, you know, what is going on within the Scrum Alliance that would lead someone, a champion of Agile such as yourself, to decide that it is time to walk away?
Well, I think the Scrum Alliance has made amazing contributions to the Agile world. In the site visits of the Learning Consortium, The essence of Scrum is always present, whether or not it's called Scrum. It's always there. And they have made a major contribution by, first of all, launching the Learning Consortium project in 2015. And when that was completed, they were a founding member of the independent nonprofit corporation that is continuing the work, and that is now a ongoing activity, a multi-year activity. And 2016, we are having amazing site visits, Microsoft and Riot Games and Barclays and BMW, and I have a new set of visits coming up next week at Spotify and a couple of other firms. So their strong support of that over this 18-month period has been tremendous. And at the same time, as we say in the letter, we in the Learning Consortium and really throughout the last 18 months, we have been pursuing the idea of Agile as mindset, a view that people and interactions are more valuable, are valued more highly than tools and processes. That's the first element of the Agile Manifesto. And the first principle, that delivering value to customers and clients is really the fundamental goal of an Agile organization. So those views are what I and Steve Forte and I have been pursuing. But as we say in the letter, over the last 6 to 8 months, we've found it increasingly difficult to have our voice heard. And as we feel we're not being heard, we've decided to resign. And obviously, can't go into the details of specific discussions, which are confidential within the board of Scrum Alliance. But as we say in the letter, it's essentially an issue of what is Agile? What is the direction of an organization that is pursuing Agile? Is it about Agile as mindset and people and interactions, as the manifesto says, or is it about Agile as tools and processes? And tools and processes are important, of course, but if they're not driven by an agile mindset. Then what we saw in the site visits to the Learning Consortium is that you get no benefit. Simply tools and processes without the agile mindset leads to no benefit. It may even be negative because some of the Scrum practices, like a daily stand-up, if you are pursuing that with a command and control mindset, I mean, it's the perfect tool for even greater manipulation and command and control. So having the agile mindset is what we're seeing is essential, and that was the central finding of the 2015 report and continues to be a theme that we're seeing in every one of the site visits that we're conducting.
I certainly appreciate those insights as you navigate that question. And we certainly don't want you to be in a position where you have to feel like you're violating any kind of confidence or trust. We're gonna, you know, tread carefully here. But over the past 6 to 8 months, you know, that's kind of the time period that your letter covers. It's also been apparent that the Scrum Alliance has rolled out very publicly. So I think we can discuss these things. Several new certification tracks and new types of certifications. And I'm wondering if this new emphasis on, you know, the leadership certification track, the team coach certification, the, you know, some of these other paths that the Scrum Alliance is pursuing, if these are some of the areas that have caused some concern for you, or are these new certification tracks really not even involved in some of the issues that you've had?
Well, again, I think it's really about mindset. I mean, any tool or process can be, not any, but many tools and processes can be hugely helpful to Agile if they are pursued with the right mindset. But the same tools and processes can be exactly the opposite if they're pursued without an Agile mindset. So our concern is really that we look at all of these activities with an Agile mindset. And we haven't always felt that that's the case. And so we're not being listened to. We've decided to move on, and maybe others can continue this. Our replacements can continue this discussion.
Certainly, and so is a logical conclusion from, you know, some of these comments that perhaps the Scrum Alliance is not operating as an agile organization right now.
I would leave that to others to make conclusions like that. I mean, you can see some of the public things that they're doing, and you can make judgments on those. But I would certainly not subscribe to that opinion. As I say, they've made looking over the last since I joined the board 2013, they've made huge strides towards Agile. They, as I say, were a sponsor of the original Learning Consortium project. They're immediately joined as a founding member of the Learning Consortium as an independent corporation, nonprofit corporation. They have sponsored these monthly Learning Consortium webinars where we've had major presentations by world famous gurus, Roger Martin, Gary Hamel, John Hagel. Hugely prestigious management thinkers who, I mean, 2 years ago would never have even heard of Scrum Alliance. And so to have them making these webinars, having their recordings of those webinars on the website, it starts to have a dialogue between Agile and Scrum and general management. And you can see this in the joint efforts to present Agile and Scrum in the Drucker Forum in November 2016. There will be presentations both by Scrum Alliance and by the Learning Consortium, and essentially presenting to these general management thinkers the idea that management is agile. Agile is management. in the 21st century, and anyone who doesn't get that is going to be having trouble running their organization. So there's major breakthroughs. I think if someone had said a couple of years ago that we'd be presenting Agile and Scrum to the Drucker Forum as a central theme of the meeting, I think people would say, well, that's unrealistic because general management is simply uninterested in these issues. But that has happened, and it's a major breakthrough. Having Harvard Business Review write its article, Embracing Agile in April, another major breakthrough. Have McKinsey had this massive agility hackathon, 2 months effort, over 1,000 participants, and a pretty good conclusion from it, but very much aligned with the idea that Agile is mindset. So we're looking at a world in which Agile is becoming central to thinking about management, and Scrum Alliance has made a major contribution to that, and our hope is that they will continue to do so. They continue to be a member of the Learning Consortium, fully paid up their dues, and so we hope that participation will continue.
Yeah, Steve, I think that's the really concerning part when we see that people like you and Stephen Forte and two others within the past few months, when there are some major resignations from an organization that has given so much to the Agile community and to the Scrum practice. I mean, Scrum Alliance sponsors many of the events that we go to throughout the year. They provide a lot of support to users groups all throughout the country and internationally. And so I think that's just most people see a lot of the charitable work, the grassroots user group work, the conference sponsorships, the presence. And so when these resignations happen, I think it just resonates throughout the community, and it gives a little bit of pause of people just wondering, wow, there must be something there. But at the same time, as you keep noting very graciously, their wonderful contributions to the community, their participation in the leadership consortium. So I definitely appreciate you going into this topic. I understand that you can't go into detail, but appreciate you giving people some insight into that this is a difference in philosophy. It's a difference in whether Agile is a mindset or something to be implemented as a process or tool. And so I appreciate you doing that, because I think it definitely gave me pause to think that there is a mass exodus at the board of director level from this organization that on all appearances seems to do just great things in our community.
I mean, my hope is that this is just a temporary ripple on the surface, and that look back out and in a few months, and things will be back to normal. And I think taking it as far as I can, in a sense, it's up to the board of Scrum Alliance to decide which direction they're taking the organization. And if they continue the direction that they've been on, I think things will look well, because, as I say, they have made these tremendous contributions to the idea of Agile as mindset. And if they continue those, I think all will be well.
So I guess the last question I have around this, and then there's just a few other things to jump into, would be, are there corrective actions that, if the Scrum Alliance were to take that you would think would lead to, the positive outcomes that you're looking at? Is there anything that you can, any insight you can provide there as far as any change in practice or approach, aside from adopting Agile as a mindset, that you believe would be very positive for the Scrum Alliance?
Well, it is really, as I say, about Agile as mindset. And what it means is that each activity that they're involved in needs to be evaluated from that perspective. When they're organizing their gatherings, are the choice of speakers related to Agile as mindset or not? As they launch these new services for members, which I think are very important, are they pursuing those from an Agile as mindset perspective, or simply as some more tools and processes? So it's applying that lens really to everything that the organization is doing. And they are, it applies to both the things that they've been doing all along, like gatherings, and it applies to these new certifications that they're launching, and It's simply applying that lens, applying that frame to those issues so that they are, in fact, part of Agile as mindset.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Steve Denning.
Looking for a conference that gives you customized learning options to explore Agile and beyond? Attend Agile Dev East, the premier event covering the latest techniques and topics, no matter your level of Agile adoption, this November 13th through the 18th in Orlando, Florida. Get Agile Tester, Safe Agilist, or IC Agile certified with pre-conference training classes and gain full access to the veteran keynote speakers, in-depth tutorials, topical-driven concurrent sessions, networking events, and more. As an added bonus, Agile Dev East is co-located with the Better Software and DevOps East conferences. Your one registration automatically gives you access to all three programs. Explore the program at adceast.techwell.com. Agile for Humans listeners can use Agile16 to receive $200 off their conference registration fee. Register by October 14th, early bird deadline, for a combined savings of up to $400 off at adceast.techwell.com.
So Steve, you've said several times in the course of the conversation so far, Agile is a mindset. When I look at the Agile Manifesto, I see a set of four values and 12 principles. And what I'm curious to hear is, when you say Agile as a mindset, what things will we observe when somebody, anybody, a company, a manager, starts operating from the Agile as a mindset starting point? What sort of things will we see? What sort of behaviors will we notice that indicate this is the source? Agile as a mindset is the source of these activities and manifestations.
You will see, first of all, leaders who embody this idea in their own actions and in the way they talk, the way they look at the world. And are they all the time looking at people and interactions as being valued more highly than tools and processes? Are they totally focused on delivering more value for customers, clients, as opposed to extracting value for shareholders? And are they in fact living Agile and being Agile, simply doing Agile? I mean, there's a statement in the Harvard Business Review, Embracing Agile, in April 2016, where it praises an organization where the leadership is spending 25% of their time on Agile activities. That is not being Agile. That is doing Agile 25% of the time. And if they're spending 75% of their time on non-Agile activities, you can see what the likely impact on the organization is going to be. And you see in many big organizations that have done that, they become excited about Agile, they pay for huge training programs for many staff, and then they find that nothing happens, and then they say, well, Agile doesn't work. And then a few years go by, and they say, well, actually, we're not coping with the way we're running the organization, we better have another look at Agile. And they go through the same process again. And those kinds of things happen when you have the leadership that's only doing Agile 25% of the time, until you have leaders at the top who understand that this is a different way of understanding the world, different way of looking at the world, different way of seeing how the world works, and a different way of interacting with both the people inside the organization and the customers. So you see this and just carries throughout the whole way the organization functions.
So I've been involved with Agile for some time, and there's a little bit of me that dies every time I hear somebody say, we're doing Agile. It's depressing.
It shows they haven't got it. It shows that they haven't digested the manifesto. And I think, I mean, if we were drafting the manifesto again, which I do not recommend that we do, one would be putting agile mindset sort of right at the front and saying that this is a different way of looking at the world, of understanding the world and interacting with the world. And if you don't have this mindset, none of the rest of this is going to matter. And the values flow from that and the principles flow from that. And eventually, after you have those things straight, then you have the tools and processes. And it's not that tools and processes aren't valuable, but if they're not nurtured and based on mindset and values and principles, they're not only not valuable, they can be very negative, very anti-productive.
So, Steve, you made a very nuanced point during that discussion about the difference between delivering value and increasing shareholder value. I was wondering if you could just very quickly kind of touch on that, because I know that's been a very active conversation lately about that subtle difference that could actually be a very big competitive advantage for companies out there.
Well, I've written a great deal about this, of course, and I mean, it stems in the first instance from Peter Drucker's insight from 1954, when he said the only valid purpose of a firm, commercial organization, is to create a customer. The only valid purpose is to create a customer. And that foundational principle has been lost by many organizations. What it implies is that everyone in the organization needs to have a clear line of sight as to who the customer is and how their work is adding value to the customer. And if they're doing things which are not adding value to the ultimate customer, they should be asking questions and say, why am I doing this? Why am I doing things which are not adding value to customers? Now, a different philosophy emerged in the 1970s and 1980s, that the purpose of the firm was almost the opposite. The purpose of the firm was to maximize shareholder value as reflected in the current stock price. And that philosophy got going in a major way in the 1980s, 1990s, and has accelerated ever since. And it's the opposite philosophy, and it leads to a short-term focus, and it leads to basically acting in ways that are counter to the interests of customers and extracting value from the firm instead of creating value for customers. And if you extrapolate that to the whole economy, you have an economy which is extracting value for those who own assets and not creating value for the whole economy. So you shouldn't be surprised that you have an economy in secular economic stagnation, as macroeconomists call it. You have an economy which appears to have some things going well, like stock market is booming because there's nowhere else to put money that has been extracted from these firms. But when you look at economic growth, real economic growth, it's simply not happening. So this booming stock market is like it's just a pretense. It's a front of an economic disaster that's unfolding in front of us. So this is a very, very serious issue. It goes way beyond agile and points to how the whole economy is being run. And when you have in major corporations systematic efforts to extract value from corporations and various forms of financial engineering to make that happen, you have the economic malaise that we have today.
So, Steve, another comment that you made that if you could unpack for the listeners, because I think this, first of all, I wholeheartedly agree, but I think this is the new marketplace, at least it will be in the very near future, is that agile is management and management is agile. Just that idea that, if companies are not all in embracing these principles, they're going to get left behind. And what I'm most curious about is you have these very large Fortune 500s that are built on traditional management, command and control, all of these different things. How do these companies pivot? You know, in your mind, how do they take on radical management and pivot into these agile mindsets? Or Or is the game over for them and they don't know it yet?
Well, what we're seeing in the Learning Consortium is that it is possible for these big old firms to change. I mean, that was the hypothesis that we had when we launched it, and we're finding that it's true, that it's not only new firms like Riot Games and Spotify that are kind of born agile that can manage this, but, I mean, big old firms like Microsoft and even Barclays, a 350-year-old organization, 130,000 people, it's making an incredible progress. But and how it happens, I mean, I've written up the Microsoft case in great detail. You can go to those two articles in Forbes, and it describes in words of one syllable, step by step, how it happened. I mean, it started in 2008 with one team experimenting, 2009, a couple of teams experimenting, 2010, Brian Harry, the corporate vice president of the developer division, agreeing to try and experiment with the Visual Studio Group, about 25 teams, and then in 2011, and declaring that the whole of the developer division, 4,000 people, was going agile. And at the time, Ken Schreiber, one of the co-founders of Agile and Scrum, wrote a blog saying it could never happen. Microsoft could never change. It was too deeply entrenched in bureaucratic and hierarchical principles, and it simply wasn't going to happen. But we went there in 2015, and again last month, we saw that it has happened, that the agile transformation that in the developer division is as advanced as any organization that we've seen, as advanced as any of the new firms like Riot Games and Spotify. So, and we haven't written it up yet, but the Barclays visit was similarly spectacular. And in each of those cases, the key factor is, as I say, agile is mindset, and having people at the very top of the organization getting it, having this agile mindset and playing an active leadership role, inspiring people to want to go in this direction, removing impediments as they emerge. That is a critical element. What we see in other big organizations, which are moving much more slowly, with much more difficulty, is where you have brilliant people at the working level who are as articulate as anybody on what Agile is and what Scrum is. But if they don't have a sponsor high up in the organization, then there are continuing bottlenecks and problems that do not get resolved. And so it means that there's a lot of talk these days about getting rid of managers and having bossless offices. I mean, this is not what we are seeing at all. What we are seeing is that leadership at the highest level is a crucial part of making this happen. And to think that you can run these organizations without managers or without leaders at the top of the organization is simply nonsense. We should stop talking like that and learn from what we're actually seeing with our own eyes in these organizations.
So one of the things, questions that Deming always asked was, by what method? As you've talked about leaders with the agile as a mindset and the substantial change and value they can bring to their organization, my question becomes, how will we as an organization, as an industry, and I'm thinking specifically in software, you're obviously looking much broader, how do we increase this mind share? By what method will we help people at the tops of organizations embrace agile as a mindset, learn agile as a mindset, live agile as a mindset?
No, that is a fundamental question we're faced with. And the panel that I was involved in at Agile Europe in June, which I wrote up in verbatim in the Forbes article, the missing element in the manifesto mindset. A couple of us took stabs at answering that question. And this is not something that you can accomplish by taking a two-day training course, and so now you have it. There may be some people who are sort of already thinking along these lines, and so a training course might reinforce ideas they already have. But if you have people who have entrenched habits of doing exactly the opposite, you cannot expect that a two-day training course is going to do it. Some of the things that we have seen work is actually going and visiting other organizations. That's the whole point of the site visit. And some of the organizations have found that really helpful to bring along skeptical executives, and that they can see and touch and feel and talk to people at every level and just get a sense of what it would be like. And that has been helpful. Stories about other organizations that have changed is another way of, if you can't make site visits. I mean, one of my colleagues, Steve Hollier, was saying, well, actually, just practicing and doing it could over time bring on the mindset. But I think, particularly at a senior level, it's going to need a lot of thought and reflection. I mean, one senior manager was put in charge of a leadership position of a whole agile transformation, and he was finding it wasn't working, that somehow he wasn't getting it. He had a coach, he would ask the coach, suppose I did this, would that help? And the coach would say, well, you could try this, but that would make things really bad. And then he said, well, after a bit, suppose I did that, would that help? Well, you could try that, but that would make things even worse. And it went on like that for about 8 months, and eventually said, I'm not getting it. So he went on vacation and took a pile of books, including mine and others, and he spent his time sort of reading the books, and suddenly the penny dropped. And he wrote an email to his coach and said, well, suppose I did A, B, C, and D. Would that help? The coach said, yeah, that would help. Now you've got it. Now you don't need me anymore. So that was 8 months. Others might take 8 years. Others, it might be never. But this is not something that someone who has been acting in a certain way for many years with a whole lot of reinforcement is going to suddenly automatically get it. I mean, there's a funny video that put on that article of the backward bicycle. This is about a bicycle where you turn the handlebars to the right and the wheel goes to the left. Turn it to the left, wheel goes to the right. And it's very funny because the guy who built this bicycle challenges people to ride it. People who can ride a bicycle, they know what they have to do, but lo and behold, they simply cannot do it. He does contests and says, I will give you so many $100 if you were able to ride this bicycle for 20 feet. And it shows them falling off the bicycle consistently. And they know what they have to do, but they simply cannot physically do it. They have a whole set of habits that cannot be broken. Now, the guy who did it, he spent 8 months himself trying to learn it, and 8 months he couldn't do it, just kept falling off. And then one day, after trying for 8 months, suddenly he could do it. And just the previous day he couldn't do it, and suddenly he could do it. And then it may be something like that with Agile, that it may, you keep at it, and it's finally you get it. I mean, the funny thing about the bicycle is that he, after he was able to ride the backward bicycle, he could no longer ride a regular bicycle. His whole brain had been recalibrated so that he couldn't do what he'd been able to. And I think you see that with Agile managers, that once people have crossed this chasm, once people have made the transition, then the thought of acting as a manager in the old way is unthinkable, and simply cannot act that way anymore. So this is not going to be easy or quick or simple, but it the transition is inevitable because the marketplace is requiring it. Companies that don't make the transition basically won't survive. So it's change or die. It's pretty much as simple as that.
In the Scrum world specifically, of course, Scrum Alliance and Scrum.org are the two protectors of the Scrum Guide. They are the champions of Scrum. And recently, both Ken Schwaber and Jeff Sutherland came out with updates to the Scrum Guide, specifically around the Scrum values.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they've brought mindset back to the Scrum Guide. Just wondering if you have any comments about this recent update, and especially the, in my own opinion, the much needed update to bring the Scrum values back. But do you see this as perhaps helping move that shift from doing Agile to more like being Agile?
Yeah, I think it's terrific, and I strongly welcome it and applaud it. And I think what happened was that this mindset was kind of implicit in what Jeff and Ken were talking about, as it is in the manifesto. But as we started to see commercial pressures to sell tools and processes, that it became more evident to them and to me and to many people that we need to make explicit what was implicit, and that the heart of Agile, the heart of Scrum, is a set of values and principles and mindset, not the tools and processes. The tools and processes are much further down the track. And if you're only in tools and processes, you really don't have it.
You know, something that's always concerned me about the commercialization of Scrum, and I think the listeners out there know, I love Scrum. It is my framework of choice. I think it's a wonderful way to introduce people to Agile. It's a great, I think, you know, playground or way to get people on board. One of the concerns I've always had, and Steve, maybe you can shed a little light, or maybe you're not allowed to talk about this, I'm not sure, but I want to ask anyways, is that given the commercial ties now, you know, we have CSTs out there who, if you change the Scrum Guide, they now have a lot of work to do to update their training, and there's a lot of moving parts now since Scrum is so commercialized. That have you seen in any instances where there is hesitation to update Scrum, to change Scrum, to be willing to look at advancing Scrum because of all these new financial ties around Scrum?
I'm not at that level of detail, so I really don't know what's happening at that level. But I would say that the it's kind of ironic that say the Agile Manifesto, in which say inspect and adapt, is the founding as a kind of founding mantra and principle and philosophy. Inspect and adapt everything except the Agile Manifesto. and the same thing with Scrum, and inspect and adapt is a basic principle, and it has been relatively slow to apply that principle to itself. And so I would be urging both Agile and Scrum to be inspecting and adapting not only to others but to themselves.
Well, Steve, this has been a very interesting conversation, and I really do want to thank you for shedding some light on this. Like I said before, the such a radical change at the director level resonated through the community. I'm sure there were a lot of concerned people. I think that through conversations and interviews and articles, and I'm sure your continued writings, those concerns will be alleviated. And I think we all know that Scrum Alliance will continue to do great things, both through the learning consortium and through the community. And I hope that you're right, that this is a blip. But actually, it reminds me of back when Tobias Mayer was having some similar, I think, crisis of conscience, when the PMI was being brought into global Scrum gatherings, and some of those writings of his, I seem to recall as I think through some of the things that you've said. And it looks like Tobias has recently re-upped his CST certification, and I think he's on that path of reconciliation with the Scrum Alliance. And I hope that that you also stay involved. It looks like you are through the Learning Consortium, and I hope that you are right that this is a temporary thing and that you stay involved with our community because you have offered just so much wisdom and insight through the Forbes column, through your books, and it would be a shame if you were to step away.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, as you can see, that I will be at the Agile meeting in Atlanta week after next, and speaking in a number of sessions there, and I'll be at the Drucker Forum speaking about Agile there, and the Learning Consortium is a multi-year activity and will continue, and I think quite exciting to, as we look as in the future, to both have that go deepen the experience in some of the companies, but also to broaden it. Experience to look, bring in more organizations, more diverse organizations, particularly outside software, and also exploring how that might create chapters in different ways. That there might be regional chapters of the Learning Consortium. Obviously, I mean, when we're having these global visits all around the world, it's sometimes difficult for firms to model. Get the staff to get involved fully in that, but we're discussing the possibility that maybe regional chapters could be set up, or chapters in relation to a particular sector. I mean, maybe in the government or in the military or in say the health sector, there might be chapters which focus on a particular area, and they could be linked and have a sort of an interactive learning experience with the kind of the main learning consortium. So the number of issues that we're exploring and open to suggestion on how we could make the Learning Consortium something that's of greater value to everyone. And it has required a certain amount of confidentiality in order to have firms reveal their sort of inmost secrets and problems. So it hasn't been possible to make it as public as I would like, but that's kind of necessary in order to get the open dialogue. But once we've made the learnings, we've done our best to disseminate those widely. So I would see my involvement in Agile and Scrum as continuing on an ever larger perspective as we go forward.
Well, Steve, Don, really enjoyed this conversation. Shed some light on what's been going on with Scrum Alliance, highlighted some of the great things that they do in the community, and also some of the great things that Steve is working on in the future. So really appreciate you guys joining us.
So what's really fun about these types of conversations is that, you know, you see Agile plays at many levels. So is it a mindset? Is it a set of processes and tools? Can it be both? Is it for management? Is it for developers? Is it for testers? And how does that all interplay and act? And what's really a lot of fun about Agile Dev East is that all of those viewpoints are present, all of those people are there. You get to have those rich conversations, and by using the Agile 16 code, you can save $200 off your entry. It's a great deal to get out to Orlando to meet many of the people in the community that are having these conversations. I'll be there. A number of past podcast guests will be there. Hope to see as many of you as possible out there. Let's continue these conversations. Let's get these tough questions answered, and let's move the ball forward as we look to bring Agile to our organization. So just really appreciate all of you being out there. We've had great download numbers recently. The fan and listener support has been tremendous. You know, even the signups for Agile Dev East, you know, we've seen a lot of people signing up. Can't wait to meet all of you out there and share some ideas and have some great collaborations, and really just looking forward to all that. So thank you again, everybody. I really appreciate the support, and have a great night.
Thanks for listening to Agile for Humans. Let's keep the conversation going. Drop us a question on Twitter @AgileForHumans or visit agileforhumans.com.